So if anybody's listening out there in Radio Land, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo pre-Jabbercast. Isn't that neat? That's like a, I don't know, like an outtake kind of thing, a pre-show thing. What do you call that?
It's pre-show.
Yeah, pre-show. So what do you want to do?
I want you to hit the intro.
I want you.
The wheels are spinning, buddy.
Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing, JD?
Doing okay. Yeah, nice Sunday morning. I feel okay, you know. Yes, at my age, you got to take those days when you can get them.
Well, 29 is pretty old.
That's right. I'm going to be 30 soon. I'll be out of my 20s.
Compared to my kids.
Compared to them?
Yeah, 29 is old compared to my kids.
Oh, yeah. They're youngsters.
Because they're doing a lot of stuff right now that I'm just starting to relate and remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like they're getting to that point where, oh, yeah, I remember when I used to do that dumb shit. Stuff. I used to do that dumb stuff.
I'm gonna see if the player's working. I'm just hitting the play. It's actually, the sound's going to come through as a double thing, but.
I know it's, Mark Dana said it's working.
Oh, yeah?
He says you sound drunk.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hitting the bottle all night.
Bottle of.
He knows how much I drink.
Oh, in a bottle of rum. I don't think you're drinking. So what else is going on?
You're going to New York tomorrow,
aren't you?
No, it's not tomorrow.
Oh.
Going to New York in a couple days.
Oh.
I think Wednesday or something.
Oh, Wednesday. Yeah, yeah.
Thursday? Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday. Not sure.
And do you know how many nights you're staying?
Yeah. I know we're coming back on the third. We're coming back on the third.
Well, that's like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's going to be a long enough trip for sure.
And you're staying
like in, we always do.
You're staying in Murray Hill.
Murray Hill Inn, yeah.
Right at the Murray Hill Inn. We always stay
there. Right at the Murray Hill Inn, yeah. Right at, just before you get in the door. Right at it.
Because Murray Hill's like a little district of Manhattan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And is that where that's what that is, I guess, eh? Murray Hill, yeah. Murray Hill.
Show is.
There's a place down the road, a couple blocks, called the Murray Hill Diner. I think a couple blocks down the road and then one block up. Murray Hill Diner.
Nice.
Very nice little place for breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah, big breakfast.
Everything's very unique there. And
Murray's Bagels. I can't even wait. Can't.
I wonder how Murray's Bagels is related to Murray Hill.
It's not near it. It's in Greenwich Village.
Oh, okay. There you go. So it's not. Obviously, it's just another Jewish gentleman who started a bagel shop. How many years ago?
Yeah.
Is it an old bagel shop?
Yeah, it's been around for a long time. I don't know how long exactly.
1999? No, just kidding.
No, older than that.
Yeah, of course, it's older than that. So you're getting ready, or are you just going by the seat of your pants, traveling like bringing the PowerBook? No, you're bringing the MacBook, obviously.
I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I'm bringing.
Wow.
One of the computers we'll bring, just to, you know, do whatever.
Well, yeah.
Probably mine. Okay. Mine's more equipped, I think, with everything I need, you know what I mean? No, it's actually not. I don't have everything installed on this thing.
Right.
I'm trying to make up my mind whether to get, if I get a new computer, am I going to get a desktop or a laptop again?
Okay. I kind of think I know what you're going to buy, but.
Figure that out. I think I'm going to get the same thing you got.
Are you going to buy a travel pack for your phone?
Travel pack?
Yeah.
What the heck is a travel pack? Like from Fido or whatever, yeah. So I can use it over there?
Yeah.
I'm thinking I'm going to have to because I haven't jailbroken it or unlocked it or anything,
right.
Which I was kind of thinking about doing pre-trip, but
I think the cheapest one is like $45 and you get some decent amount of voice and data and texting, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So you can...
Must be similar to whatever yours is, right? Rogers.
Yeah, I'm sure it's pretty similar, yeah.
But yeah, I've seen the travel pack things, and yeah, I think we'll get it on one phone or something just so that we can use it if we, you know what I mean, want to look stuff up and do
for
whatever.
Sure.
And
I think it's essential.
Yeah.
For a trip to New York, that is.
But I don't know that we'll get it on both, because I don't think we'll need it, but... And plus, I mean, there's a lot of Wi-Fi there, you know what I mean? All over the place.
Yep.
And I'll be spending most of my time at the Apple store, so...
No, you're not.
No.
What kind of plans do you have? Like, that's a long time. What are you going to do? You going to do anything interesting? Obviously, you're not meeting Paul Howard again.
No, he's going to be away, actually. He's going to be upstate. Otherwise, I would have seen him, too. But we're going to go skating at Rockefeller Center.
Nice.
And we may possibly go skating they have it in Central Park as well, so... You know, it seems a little repetitive to do that twice, but in two different areas, it's kind of neat. Do you want me to get that for you?
No, I got a back scratcher just for this purpose.
Okay.
Thanks for offering.
What else will we do? Then there's little things we want to do. I mean, the shopping and stuff. I got to go to J&R. I'm going to get my Drobo. You know, Lana will want to shop. We got Murray's Bagels. We got the Big Bash at Olive Garden, Times Square for ball dropping thing.
How many hours do you think you're going to spend at Olive Garden?
How many hours?
Yeah.
We've got to spend a lot of hours there because you got to be there early.
Right.
Especially if you want a table, because getting a table is not guaranteed.
Just getting in the place.
You get in and you eat where I don't know how that works. They must have areas for standing and eating. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because you're not going to be able to. And so that's like 8 o'clock to be there by 8 o'clock at the latest.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be, that's 4 hours right there till midnight. Then we'll go outside, watch the ball drop. And, you know, there's 1 o'clock. So we're looking at being there for like at least 4 or 5 hours. For sure.
That isn't so bad.
Not really. They probably have something going on there. A little dancing, you know, a little dining.
And it's an open bar.
A couple of bottles. Yeah. Yeah.
Even though Big JD does not drink. How bizarre.
I'll drink so many waters that night. I won't be able to walk. I'm trying to get something on Facebook here.
What do you mean trying to get something on Facebook?
About just the shows on here.
Oh, I see. You're trying to tell the fine folks on your Facebook feed.
And there it goes. Oh, there it is. And then it'll go.
Mark Dana is listening right now, and he says that Apple sucks.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what sucks about it.
Just keep on believing that.
There's one other thing I wanted to ask.
We don't want everybody to have a Mac.
That's right. Then if once it gets to his house, yikes.
Apple, it's an intelligent race thing. So,
so a lot of Orientals have
whoa
apples.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, according to the intelligence and the race theory that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the white people kind of are right in the middle there. But how do you account for the people who live in the hills of West Virginia?
How do I count for them?
How do you account for them as far as the race intelligence thing goes?
Hills of West Virginia. Well, I'll tell you, it's more like this. I don't know. Ding, 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 ding. Up there in them Nar hills.
Yales. You want to get into some news?
Okay, let's get into some real news.
And straight from the newsroom floor and the walls and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world and sometimes out of this world from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
An attempted terrorist attack on Christmas Day. Flight coming to Detroit from Amsterdam. Where was it coming from originally?
Somewhere Nigeria.
Else. There you go. Blow up the Nigerians.
What do you think about this whole thing? What's your take on it?
It's probably a scam of some kind. Oh,
I love it. We're on the same page.
It's not real.
It's not real. They planted this guy.
Oh, yeah. And now they're taking care of his burns at the hospital. You just shoot him. Kill him if he was a real terrorist. It's all a big sham.
Yeah.
Working for Al-Qaeda.
The way that...
he doesn't know Al-Qaeda.
No.
Al-Qaeda doesn't pay my taxes. It's a guy with a beard.
Just the way he acted, like the way the passenger said, he didn't say a thing. He just looked like a regular guy.
Yeah, that's just... And with security is pretty tight. How do you get through that? There has to be something that you would think that's metal somewhere in there. I mean, they say you mix those two compounds together, but there's got to be a detonator, and it's got to be made of something. And that can't be that easy to get it in nowadays. They're fairly strict, and they really check, and people are shaking when they go through there anymore.
Yeah, you think it's going to be good today? People flying home after Christmas at Detroit Airport?
I have nothing to do with terrorism, and I'm scared to death going through there. I feel like I have bombs all over me when I'm going through there.
What is that from your past days of...
my past days as an Al-Qaeda...
No.
No.
I know what you mean, because I feel kind of the same way, but then after I get through there, I'm kind of pissed. I'm like, why do I get to get treated like this? Because this whole thing's a freaking scam.
Yeah, but that's what they got to do. But
to keep the fear level up.
Oh, yeah, for whatever the reasons are, the fear level. And it was, somebody said something on the news that I saw or was listening to. If I'm not mistaken, it was a podcast, one of the news podcasts, maybe this morning too. And saying something to the effect that, and they didn't say like so specifically like, that the fear is the government wants us to know that the fear is still there of attacks on our homeland, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, the way that they're saying it in the newscast is like, you know, people just be aware that these things can still go on. Like, you know, we should be afraid.
We should be afraid.
But what's really going on is that, you know, that they are doing this to keep us where they want us.
Yes.
Basically.
Don't start.
The mindset and whatever.
Don't start straying again, you people. Start thinking for yourselves and think you have freedom.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't think you have freedom here in this land of the free and home of the brave.
Yeah, well, the world's going to hell in a handbag.
No, it's going to one world government.
It's going to World War III.
You
think? Then maybe a whole new world order.
Well, maybe. That could be. And it could be a orchestrated war, basically.
Oh, music?
Yes. It's going to be the people with the money are going to fund the whole. It's going to be like, what was that game? Risk. You ever play Risk?
No. I might have when I was younger. That's been around for a long time, Risk.
Yeah.
But no, like I didn't really play it. That, or I never played Clue, and I never played, what was the other one? Like, I don't know if it was Risk. It had the like soldier type things all over the place. And
yeah.
Was that Risk?
Risk.
Okay, yeah.
So, and they had just like, it was a board with what looked like a map.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, yeah. I've taken some, but I've never played that.
Taken some risk?
Yeah.
What was the risk? Oh, marrying Lana.
Oh, a lot of risks. I take my chances with everything.
You don't seem that way to me.
No?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Other than...
I'm involved in some very risky business.
I don't believe it. I don't see you being
risky. No, I guess if I take risks, they're usually calculated. For the most part.
So, okay.
Some of them spur of the moment.
So me and you are sitting here, and the first thing that we think of when we see this is scam. Do you think there's got to be a good chunk of people on the same page as you and I?
Oh, yeah, of course. So, but nobody does anything about it.
I was going to say, why don't we just do something about this? Why doesn't this get out? I know you can't.
There's nothing we can do.
Other than take it to the streets.
Unless everybody stands up, you know what I mean? And if everybody stands up, then there's going to be, you know, that's the whole... There's going to be mutiny. It's going to be a war.
Mutiny.
It's going to be civil wars to start. Uprising. A New World Rising. New Wicked Angel CD from Amazon.com and iTunes.
What is it called?
There's a song called New World Rising on it. That's the new song. But anyway, yeah.
Hemingway. What other news do you
have? What other news do I have? I don't know if I have any other news. Aspen, Colorado. Charlie Sheen, spent the better part of Christmas Day in the slammer. Some kind of domestic dispute. And at the time that I got this news, and probably still, and because of the laws, I guess, of not being able, in some areas, I suppose, to not say who the other party is, there was no saying who that was. If it was maybe a, I don't know, I don't think he's married anymore, right?
No, no.
You know, if it was a girl or some guy or whatever, but anyway.
We can't even spread stuff that like he's sleeping with 13 women.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 13-year-olds. $8,500 bond paid, and he was let out. But what were his charges? He's booked for investigation. Second-degree assault and menacing, both felonies, and along with criminal mischief, misdemeanor. Aspen Police spokeswoman Stephanie DeSaro said,
And she goes on to say that the other information can't be released due to whatever their policies are, prohibiting the identification of potential victims in domestic violence cases.
Beaten. He's beaten women.
He's cool, though. I love the show, man. Hey, Two and a Half Men, isn't that great?
Two and a Half Men's a great show.
It's very funny.
Yes, it's got some good writing, good acting on there, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Apple's rumors? Here we go with more Apple stuff. Mark's going to slam me again. But are you familiar with the tablet rumors?
I'm familiar with tablet rumors, yeah.
Because supposedly they have an event that's coming out on January 26th. And now the stock price is going up. As soon as I first heard about it, I was thinking before I got off work, I should buy some Apple stock just to see.
I thought you had Apple stock.
I did, and then I sold it, and I bought some more, and I sold it. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't had it for a couple of years now, though. Got rid of it.
You got Google stock?
No, that's...
You got livestock in the back?
Yes, no? I do.
Okay.
Livestock.
You got a Jack and the Bean stock?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Any other news that you want to do, like local news maybe? Oh, local news, yeah.
Sunny outside today. What else?
Since I missed last week. But was that after last week? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, you missed last week, 100%.
I know. Have I done that before? Just called you like hours before, don't come over, I can't.
Yeah, I think a couple of times that you said you couldn't do that. That was probably the tightest one. That I had to deal with.
I feel bad. Yeah, I know you had to deal with that. You do some
prep.
It all
worked out, you know. It was, what was it? We aired, rebroadcast an occasion show from 2007. From the one that was closest to Christmas that year. So anyway.
I was just going to say news. That the Olympic flame passed through this area.
Yeah, a friend of ours carried the torch.
What? Mm-hmm. I know a few people who actually know people who carried the torch. My buddy Steve down here is
he cousin. Just bought a Mac recently. If anybody really wants to know,
that's Mark.
Mr. D.
Well, that's interesting. I know so many people who knew people who actually ran, but it just came right down the road here, like in Comber, mm-hmm. like 5 minute ride down the road. I knew it was, they have the time on the website and when it's going to be. So I cut it right to the minute. Cause I'm thinking it's going to run behind. If anything, it's not going to be ahead of time. Is it?
No,
I don't think so. Anyway, so
likely, but
so I thought it would be a few minutes behind. So I got there right at the exact time that it said. I walked right up to the road, and the dude was coming up.
Just so said, you saw it. Did you take some video pictures?
With I took some that? Pictures. Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I thought it was just like
be in the show notes.
What?
Hey.
Oh yeah. Sure.
This. Oh sure.
You're making show notes.
Of course I am. I have my show notes right here.
Oh, those show notes.
Shall we move on to
the topic of the day?
And we'll be back with that after these brief messages.
Need more Big JD? Visit BigJD.com.
Hey folks, Big JD here. Just wanted to let you know about my Big 30. Incorporating the Jeff and Lana Show, the Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show, and my You Talking to Me interview show in a 130-minute podcast. 10 minutes with Lana, a 10-minute interview with a new guest every week, and 10 minutes of tunes. You get it all in the Big 30. It's fast, it's a blast, and it's come to pass. Big JD's Big 30. Subscribe free on iTunes or from www.myspace.com/BigJD's Big 30.
This is Big JD's grandma, and you're listening to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo.
I should do a new ID with grandma and put like something crazy behind it. Some Slipknot or something really cool, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Or some heavy Jeffrey David blues connection.
So the topic of the week...
is the mind.
Wow.
That's deep.
What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the mind?
I think of my dad.
Do you?
Yeah. He always tried to examine or analyze what people were thinking and how the mind related to the person and how the person and the mind related to the soul.
Wow. Did you ever feel like things that you said or if you want to talk to him about anything or whatever, that there was going to be over-analyzation?
Oh, yeah. It's always over-analyzing.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
like when you were growing up too, like, oh, yeah, like, for sure. I'm going to talk to my dad about this, but he's going to just absolutely dig at
that's,
the whole
that's
thing.
That's exactly the way I felt about
wow,
it.
Wow.
So there was something that's pretty
good. And I wish you were doing, and it always comes back to this, the podcast thing, man. I wish you were doing more with your dad.
You want to hear something funny?
Absolutely.
My dad was
I
over
for that.
My dad was over for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
He forgot about doing podcasts. I played one for him. I goes, Dad, well, you did these 13 podcasts.
Oh, one of his?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, they're still up. Harry'sPhilosophy.com.
Right.
You can check out the 12 that are up. There's another
and
one.
And I urge you to.
That isn't released yet. And they're pretty deep subjects. And they're informative as well. Harry'sPhilosophy.com. And I showed him. I had the laptop. You did these. He goes, yeah, those are papers that I wrote. I goes, no, you actually talked into a mic and it's on the internet. People emailed you about them and everything. So he didn't had no recollection. I put one on his head and he's like, wow, I didn't know I did this.
Wow, that's something else. You should do a show on that.
Oh, so that's one aspect of the mind.
Yeah.
The last one he did was in November of 2006. Here we are in almost a little past November 2009, 3 years later. And his mind is to a point where he forgot that he did something like publishing podcasts.
Still doing better than me.
No, he's not.
I just forgot about the Jabbercast till I got here this morning. And we did one 2 weeks ago.
So what is it about the mind that if we don't stay on task, or is it just the fact that it's an old brain and doesn't get the chemicals it needs to?
Yeah, you wonder how those things get filed away. And
that's filed away.
And how they get recalled or not get recalled, or how they are forgotten. And to what degree they're forgotten. Are they forgotten totally, 100%? You just don't remember them at all? Or some things are, somewhat forgotten. Somebody reminds you and it's like not very clear, you know?
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious. The way that we remember stuff is we encode it as it comes into our brain.
Mm-hmm. So is it ones and zeros?
It could be, for all we know. We know it's some kind of electrical pulse. And so as the information comes in, we encode it, and we say to ourselves, we don't even say it to ourselves, it all happens back here. Mm-hmm. Based on our past experiences, we know whether we have to file this in the, I'm going to need this information pretty soon, or this information is really important. I don't know when I'm going to need it. I'm going to have to file this over here, or this is just useless information, and it's just free-flowing, and where it lands, it may land like a piece of dust on the floor kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we take in the information and put it in our brain. We encode it without us even knowing it. This encoding goes on all in the background.
It's unconscious.
Right. So here's what I'm thinking about the podcasting. When he was doing it, he was like a puppet, really, almost. Like, you want me to do what? And he's talking over here kind of thing. I know, Dad, you got to talk into the microphone. Like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And he might have not been.
He wasn't in the moment. Seriously.
Right, right.
He was in the material that he was actually talking about.
Yeah.
The whole experience was just peripheral stuff. Mm-hmm. So he didn't encode that at all. He didn't even know, what was really. I don't think he understood the concept of your voice.
Yeah, what was relevant to him and what was probably important was just what he was actually doing and didn't have anything to do with being recorded and that you were there.
Yeah, that's. Well, sometimes I would just leave him in this chair right here. Go ahead.
Oh, you weren't even there, or what?
I'd put him in the chair and put. Yeah, I didn't want to make any noise or make sure that it was quiet in the house, the rest of the house, and I would just let him do his thing.
What'd you do? Go watch TV?
I hung out in the kitchen and maybe went down the other end of the house. And
okay, wow.
I just let him do his thing. Well, because since he was a teacher, I knew he knew how to talk.
Yeah.
Information that's in front of him, the whole speech. Like, he wasn't stumbling on his words or anything.
Was he reading everything or did he veer off sometimes and discuss and then go back?
It was just
back
points on a paper.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because it's really, I like listening to it.
I'm glad
I don't understand any of it, but.
Yeah, it's kind of deep stuff. But anyway. That's a very current thing that shows you the stuff that happens with minds as we get old. Now, people can attribute that to Alzheimer's disease, which is, we don't even really know what the deal with.
I don't even know that guy, Alzheimer.
Well, supposedly psychologists know him and doctors know him. But I honestly don't think they have that. They can't figure out specifically what is going on with the brain when Alzheimer sets in. I think they have some ideas, but nothing that's going to be able to effectively treat it, though.
It's pretty incredible some of the things that they can do, because you watch some of those shows where they have the skulls opened up and they're doing different things that that can pertain to things that you think are parts of the mind, you know, to some small degree.
Right.
You know, I don't recall the things that I've seen, but, you know, you see some of those shows maybe on Discovery or whatever the stations are, and mm-hmm. they're actually working on these things and triggering different things. And some of them are, you know, somewhat related to the mind, but what an incredible thing. We don't know anything about it.
No, we don't.
So, that's the end of today's show.
No, and I think we got to kind of specify what makes up the mind.
Mind is the aspect of intellect and consciousness experienced right. as combinations of thought, perception, memory, emotion, will, and imagination, including all unconscious cognitive processes.
Okay, now could you see that a little faster? Holy moly. There's a lot of information in there.
Yeah, it's all up here.
Not now, it isn't.
I don't bullet point.
That just came right off the tip of his tongue.
I bullet. A lot of bull.
We got to separate the mind from the actual...
From the brain.
From the physical part of your brain.
You know, and I discuss a little bit of that with Dr. Rick Fisher, who will be on the show today. Cool. And, you know, just kind of briefly asking about the difference between, you know, the mind and the brain itself. But it's pretty incredible. The mind is... would you say it's our processor? Is it the mind that processes, or is it somewhere else in the brain? Is the mind only the storage unit, perhaps, the hard drive?
You want to use the analogy?
Is there a difference between our memory and temporary memory?
Yeah.
Do we have two?
No, I don't think we do.
Well, maybe they are two separate places, but there's got to be a place that processes things sort of subconsciously, like... you know, just things that we do naturally from day to day, things that we don't think about. There must be something in there that's closer. You know what I mean? That's the thought processes are just right there on the edge. And then there's another part of the mind that you have to dig deep to think about, you know, where that storage is, where other things are probably more readily available, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I guess that's like what we did yesterday is more readily available to us than what we did, you know, the same date 3 years ago.
For some people.
So how does that, you know? Yeah, but...
For some people, what we did 2 days ago is really hard to think about. Maybe not yesterday, but just 2 days ago. But
right.
Yeah, I remember that concert that we went to in 1980.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I remember little details.
And I guess it's what we feel is relevant and what's not. Like you mentioned about the thing with your dad, where, you know, what you're taking in or what's important to you at the time.
Exactly. And you don't even know it. That's the whole thing. You know, when you're going to see that Black and Blue concert at Cobo Arena 30 years ago.
Do you ever do something like that? You're at a concert like that and you think to yourself, let me make a mental note of this because I want to remember all this. This is what's going on here. This is what's happening. This is what I'm smoking at this point in time. And, you know, whatever.
No.
And think, okay, and 10 years from now, I want to remember all this.
No. If you did that, though, would you remember? That's the question. Would you really remember that whole thing?
Let's try that right now. Let's make a mental note of what we're doing right here, right now, and what we're discussing, and something specific about it. There was the me talking to cats went on while we were here. There was lots of the pre-show talk. What else was there that could be relevant to think about 5 years from now?
I didn't make you a cup of tea.
You didn't make me a cup of tea, right?
Which is
because
a big thing.
I brought my own. Yeah, because that's what we do.
That's right.
That's all part of the show.
Right.
It's more important than the show in some cases. But so there's these few things.
And then what, 10 years from now?
And well, say five. Okay. Well, what show number are we at? Because pretty soon we'll have a, what do you call those shows?
Recaps.
A recap.
No, I'm just thinking, let's say 5 years, the day after the show after Christmas, 5 years from now.
Yeah, okay, that's what we'll do. And we'll think back at this and how we recall all these things because we made the mental note to actually remember this 5 years from now. And will we?
Yeah, I think we will.
We'll probably do the show and forget to even do that.
More than likely.
And then Mark will be on Facebook and say, hey, back up the bus. You guys got to do this.
Back up the bus.
That's right. He's included in this.
Beep, 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 beep.
Well, I could have used the cart machine.
You have a backup sound?
No, I have nothing.
I don't believe you.
And so in discussing some of these things. And like I mentioned about, you know, the difference between the brain and the actual mind. I talked to Dr. Rick Fisher, who is a psychologist, about the power of accepting powerlessness.
Okay.
And also talked about self-talk, self-messages. We're going to play that interview for you right now.
You're listening to another interview with Big JD right here on the Jabbercast. For more Big JD, visit www.bigjd.com. For more interviews with Big JD, visit youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number two, me. youtalkingtome.ca.
I had the privilege today to talk to psychologist Dr. Rick Fisher on the power of accepting powerlessness and also about self-talk, self-messages. Okay, Dr. Rick Fisher, welcome to the Jabbercast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So the first thing we're going to talk about that pertains to the mind will be the power of accepting powerlessness. Is that an actual power, then, to be able to do that? Is it an acceptance, and can it be looked at as a defeat, possibly?
I look at it more as a power, or it's a way of discovering actually your own power, your own personal power. It's actually the power of choice, okay? So we can either struggle against things and, you know, keep the struggle going, or we can accept that there's some things that we don't really have any power over. Therefore, we get our personal power and have other choices open to us.
Right, okay. Is this sometimes just beyond some people's control altogether to even find the power to accept powerlessness?
Well, I don't know that it's beyond their control, but for some reason some people don't go there, maybe because they're just where they are in their the way that they think about the world and about life, and so they don't realize that they can make a choice about that. Sometimes we need to struggle for a while before we get to where we get beyond whatever is going on for us.
This actually reminds me of the Serenity Prayer?
Right.
God grant.
The whole idea of powerlessness is very, you know, deeply rooted in recovery and 12-step programs, AA, Al-Anon, all that, and about accepting that you're powerless over whatever you're addicted to.
Right, okay.
And so I just took it one step beyond that into, you know, we accept our powerlessness over other things in life. You know, that we struggle with life. Some people, it may be a mental illness, maybe depression or schizophrenia or, you know, and, you know, that's happening in their life. They can't make it go away. But if they fight against it, then it becomes harder. If we can accept ourselves the way we are, accept, you know, say I have depression and I can accept that I'm depressed, then I have more options to do something more positive for myself to move beyond that, or to still be happy rather than to fight it and deny that I'm depressed and I'm not going to let this happen.
Self-talk, self-messages, let's talk a little bit about that and how that fits in and probably fits in with accepting powerlessness.
Exactly. We're always talking to ourselves and giving ourselves messages, and a lot of them are come from what we were taught about ourselves and taught about life as we grow up, and then we have like a set of rules of what you believe life is supposed to be like.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's things that you learned from your experiences as you lived, other things that your parents taught you, and we give ourselves messages, and we have this self-talk going on. So what we say to ourselves creates partly what happens in our life and whether or not we're happy. And so if I'm struggling against, for example, I had a heart attack about a month ago, and if I had to tell myself, I had to talk to myself in a positive way about that experience, look at positive things to make the changes I need to make to be healthier. So I changed some of the things I'm believing.
Okay, yeah. Obviously, we have to share a lot of things with ourselves.
Exactly.
And now, how might this relate to someone talking to themselves as an illness?
People tell themselves all sorts of things. And so if someone has a mental illness, some of their messages to themselves might be that, you know, the world is out to get me. So I mean, it's kind of paranoid. You know, they might be telling themselves that everybody's talking about me, everybody's out to get me. They're believing that because that's what they're saying to themselves in their head. And if it's a mental illness, then it might require, you know, medication to kind of change the chemical reactions happening in the brain that are causing that.
What is kind of maybe the difference between the mind itself and the brain? Are they, I mean, it's, I guess, all in the, it's the same place. Is there a way, like, we differentiate kind of between the two things? Like maybe a chemical imbalance or something on the brain, how it affects the mind? Or
I've never read anything of them being separate, but it, you know, as I'm thinking about it, I'm think, you know, we usually talk about and think about the mind in terms of more the processes of the brain.
Right, okay.
Okay, so part of our memory and our ability to learn and all of the things that happen in the brain because of the chemicals.
Right, right. Okay, well, we see that it's very important to talk to ourselves and discuss things with ourselves to some degree.
Exactly.
And that's important, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
Okay, my pleasure, Big JD.
You've just listened to another interview with Big JD right here on the Jabbercast. For more Big JD, visit www.bigjd.com. For more interviews with Big JD, visit youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca. Hey, this is Jeff Oppen from Wicked Angel, Canada's power metal trio. By now, you're probably aware that we recently released a CD, The Remastered Collection 2009. It's a compilation of past tracks, remastered, including a brand new song, New World Rising. It's available in hard copy and MP3 download at many fine online music retailers, including CDNRecords.com, Amazon.com, the iTunes Store, and CDBaby.com. Pick up a copy and crank it up!
Fix for some cool music? Check out Mike LaPont's Border City Radio podcast. Visit www.bordercityradio.com or search Border City Radio at the iTunes Store.
Hey, this is Big JD from Jeffrey David's Blues Connection. Just wanted to make sure you know that our double-length debut CD is available now at most online music retailers, including Amazon.com, CDBaby.com, and the iTunes Store. It's some of the heaviest blues you'll find anywhere. It's available for digital download, so download a copy today and crank it up!
You say you wanna leave. I guess
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig, brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
Okay, Lippo, cue us up with the what your tune is there.
Okay, this song is by a band that I can't get enough of these guys. It's them Crooked Vultures, which is John Paul Jones, of course, famous bass player and keyboard player for Led Zeppelin, David Grohl from Nirvana, and of course his band, the Foo Fighters, and Josh Holm from Caius. Mm-hmm. And Queens of the Stone Age, and now he's doing this project here. And their CD is, it's just a self-titled Them Crooked Vultures. But this stuff is so good. The way it's produced and his vocals, I'm just digging. I don't know what it is about it, but it's just got a vibe to it. And there's the one tune there that I'm kind of getting sick of almost, is Newfang, but another song on the CD is called Mind Eraser.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Mind Eraser, and in parentheses, they got No Chaser. It's kind of funny they put that at the end, and I think that if that wasn't at the end of that song, that would probably be, would have been the single.
Oh, yeah?
Seriously. And before they released the album, they actually made that song available for free for 1 week on iTunes.
Wow.
That's where I got it. And that's where the first thing, first stuff of theirs that I had heard.
Sounds like the JDBC thing, actually. You may as well tell listeners that they can download a free CD called Lucky 7 from Jeffrey David's Blues Connection. And I'll give you the URL to be able to download that CD. And it's Jeffrey David, that's R-E-Y, jeffreydavid.ca/L7.html. It's a hidden page, but it's a whole CD you can download of instrumental blues.
For listeners of the Jabbercast.
That's right.
That's very nice of you, Big JD.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
What did you do for, did you do something for Christmas?
No.
Well, you
celebrate
like,
Kwanzaa.
No, you don't.
No, well, we didn't do anything really. I didn't get dressed all day on Christmas.
You didn't know?
No, we had dinner though.
Okay.
The turkey dinner Lana made, and it was pretty cool.
Did Lana's, well, it's your niece as well. Did she come home from?
She's home, yeah, yeah. And we did see her the first night briefly, but we're going there this afternoon, actually. That's when they're having a big bash today, I guess, of some kind, but cool. Yeah.
She's doing good. Everything's good.
She's doing great, yeah.
She's not getting expelled?
Nope, not yet.
You suck. You suck. Radio sucks.
That's one of my favorite things. And that's fresh in there, so that's got to be on the outside.
That's right.
On the outside
of the mind, which we're talking about today. We're talking about the mind.
I also did an interview with Garrett Kramer on the mind, who's been on the show before. He's an athletic behavioral coach, and I talked to him about how that relates to the mind. Do you want to talk a little bit more about the mind first? Or?
Well, I'm just wondering, as you grew up and you were thinking about people who knew a lot about the mind, were you thinking about... what's his guy named? Freud.
Yeah.
He always thought that a lot of our thoughts were...
Pink Freud.
Yeah. He thought a lot of our thoughts were based on...
Sex.
Sex, yeah. Yes. It was a whole sex thing.
If you smoke a cigar, you like to smoke...
Popes.
Yeah. Ooh, smoking popes.
Smoking good popes, yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Freudian theories.
Yeah, Freudian theories. Which he's... It's telling us that our mind really is just an extension of our basic animal instincts, and that's just attached to this, basically, you know, mm-hmm. as I reach for my crotch.
Well, if he says that, though, and attached to this, how does that work with women? Because it's got nothing to do with it. It's not the same. Not the same as a guy.
No, it's not the same as a guy. In fact, they use it. In the opposite way, they use it like they got something. That their thought process is all around how I can dangle this in front of a man.
Does Freud say that?
I think so. I think he does. But deep down, they all love it.
Well, of course.
For the most part.
Especially once it's underway.
Yeah. It's
getting there.
It was made, the act of sex was made so it would be pleasurable so we could keep making people.
Right.
So we could... maintain the species, as it were. I just wanted to mention that as when we're talking about the mind, I'm just thinking of Freud's theory that the mind is, I'm really simplifying that, is just an extension of our need to reproduce.
And just as a little side note for listeners, the mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Don't do drugs.
No.
That's where you're getting that from, right?
That's what that is. Oh, isn't a commercial or something on television at one time or something? The mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Back in the 70s or something, yeah.
And it's your brain on drugs, oh, and eggs, frying, and whatever it was. Well, how about people that have a much higher IQ than the average? That's incredible as well. And you wonder how that happens exactly.
Exactly. What makes it so that people are smarter than other people? They're just born that way? Like intelligent wise, they could talk about anything. Like you see some little kids who they're smarter than high school graduates. Like,
are you smarter than a fifth grader? I think it's some of it has to do with skills. I think some people are have better learning skills, better taking in, that kind of thing. That can be a part of it. then there are some people that are naturally smart. And what about people that are autistic? Some of them are very smart in certain ways. And how or where does that come from? And how do they know some of the things that, you know what I mean? And then there's the medium, mystical type thing, you know, like mediums and clairvoyance and things like that. That's got to do with the mind. And how does that work? Or can't our minds be tapped into, how are they tapped into supernatural? And also other dimensions, if they exist, how does that work? That's incredible stuff. And are other dimensions inside our mind, or is it outside somewhere? Right, those are a few things to think about.
No, I don't believe that. I don't think our mind is multidimensional.
Do you think there are multidimensions though?
Possibly, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not discounting that mm-hmm. fact. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. There could be stuff that's going on around us that we don't even know, and they don't even know that we exist either.
Well, that's something to think about. Yeah, that's something you don't really associate and think about is we don't know if that exists, but do they know if we exist?
Right.
You know, is it the same thing for them, you know? And that thought about we could be on just an infinite number of dimensions doing something totally, we could be on another dimension where we didn't do the show today for some reason or...
Another dimension?
Well, maybe.
No, I don't think so. I think it's a different...
That every path that you could take is infinite.
Oh.
Like you could stand up right now and go to the washroom while I you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't believe that's happening.
You ever heard about that though?
Yeah. That's just too mind-boggling. If you actually...
Mind-boggling. Hey, okay? What does that mean exactly?
I can't believe I said that.
It's important. Mind-boggling. That's when your mind gets all miscombobulated and the information gets all...
Well,
it's confusing.
It's interesting you say that. What is mind-boggling? As humans, we want to finish a thought. So you think of that thought that you just thought of, and you say it's an infinite amount. I could have got up and went to the bathroom, and then I could have did something else, or I could have just stayed here and finished the show, and then I could have, you know. And there's just an infinite amount of stuff, and you try to take it to the end. It's like thinking of the edge of the universe. Is there an edge? And what's on the other side of the edge of the universe? Where does it stop? You just you can't think of that. It really makes my head hurt.
You got me all confused now. I'm starting to sweat. So we'll go ahead and roll the interview with Garrett Kramer. I think Mark Dana like this because he's a sports guy.
Yes, he is.
He's going to be into this interview because this athletic behavioral coaching and how it relates to the mind, it's very interesting. So here we go.
You're listening to another interview with Big JD right here on the Jabbercast. For more Big JD, visit www.bigjd.com. For more interviews with Big JD, visit youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number 2, me. youtalkingtome.ca. Intersports LLC is the innovator in athletic behavioral evaluation and coaching. They evaluate and then coach athletes of all ages on the behavioral characteristics and principles that lead to improved performance on and off the field of play. A leader in the fields of athletic statistical analysis, predictive behavioral assessment, principle-based psychology, and principle-based athletic coaching, Garrett Kramer is also a former collegiate hockey player and coach, currently coaching at the high school level. He's the founder and managing partner of Intersports and here today to discuss the mind and its relationship to athletic behavioral coaching. We welcome former Jabbercast guest Garrett Kramer to the show. Welcome back, Garrett.
Good to be back. Appreciate it, buddy.
So let's discuss how the mind works in different athletes, you know, athletes from individual and team sports, like an Olympic swimmer as opposed to maybe a heavyweight boxing champion.
Yeah. Believe it or not, there's no difference whatsoever.
Okay.
There's no difference. Now, to the brain, there's differences, right? So we should talk about there's a significant difference between brain and mind.
Okay.
So clearly, in a sport like swimming versus a sport like boxing, like versus a team sport, let's say like ice hockey, there are significant differences, intellectual understandings of the sport. That the players need to grasp to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you need to study the playbook if you're a quarterback, and you need to know it inside out. There's no way around it, right? No way around it. However, the use of the mind in sports does not vary, or in life, by the way, does not vary one iota from sport to sport or from one life situation to another.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same, and when we're talking about athletics.
when we talk about mind, JD, what we're truly talking about, and this is so essential to inner sports and to how we see things, is this: we look at the mind as this clean slate that we're all born with, right?
Right.
So it's like an intellectual understanding of life, right?
Okay.
When you can approach athletics from that place of quiet, where you're in the flow, not overthinking, not getting in your own way, you hear this terminology a lot in sports, right? You are able to look and react. So if you're a baseball player and the ball's coming at you and it's a curveball, you look at the ball coming in, you react to it. No thought whatsoever, right? No thought whatsoever. So that ability that instinctual, innate understanding to just kind of go with the flow, swim with the stream, is really the true source of competitiveness. And that all starts with a quiet mind. Quiet from, you know, a place of quiet.
Right.
So that is really essential to everything that we teach. We teach here, or we try to uncover for our players at Intersports. It's a very, very important to understand the difference between your brain and your mind. And athletes, again, because they're constantly taught to find the answer, go work on the problem, study, work, effort, you know, all this, kind of grind it out.
Right.
That truth gets blurred very often for athletes, right? The answers to any problem in life, sports, whatever, always come from a place of quiet, never from revved up thinking. When athletes could see that, right, the perceptual field, their consciousness and the perceptual field actually expands for them, and the game comes easy.
Right. And I think I saw in the seminar that you have online that you mentioned something about in a critical moment, say, during an athlete's performance, when the adrenaline is flowing, the pressure of that and outside sources can negatively affect their situation. Let's talk a little bit about how that works and how you might deal with that.
Let's say you're a baseball player. Mm-hmm. And you, in a game, you go 0 for 5, okay? Let's say you're a high school baseball player and you go 0 for 5. It is commonly taught and almost expected of coaches and parents, et cetera, that player, after the 0 for 5, what's the right thing to do? Well, let's go to the batting cage 20 minutes after the game and let's go swing at baseballs till our hands bleed. That's how you'll earn your way out of this so-called bad game. And coaches love that type of player.
Right.
Okay? Easy to know why. I mean, you can see why a coach would like that type of player. He seems to have determination and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, he's gritty. He's going to find the answer. He's not going to settle for a bad game. Okay, that all makes sense. And those aren't necessarily bad thoughts for a player. The issue, though, is your state of mind in that moment. Are we all bound up? Are we in such a rage and feeling our self-worth possibly is diminished because we played poorly in that moment? And if that's the case, the real trick is to stay away from the batting cage, because from that place you're only going to compound the problem. You're never going to find the answer, mm-hmm. right? So we teach athletes to say, okay, if that's where we're at right now, let's just put this, let's back burner this issue. All right, let's back burner this 0 for 5, okay, until we can see our way through to quiet, okay?
Right.
See our way through to our... It's not to say for a second, JD, that we say, oh, that's great, we just went over... Not even for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I constantly tell athletes that you can be upset and you can be positive at the same time. People don't understand that. You could be very upset about the 0 for 5, right? The real trick is not to be mad at yourself.
Right.
Be mad at the 0 for 5, but hey, you're okay. Let's just chill a little bit. Let's just try to, let's just kind of put back burner this issue when we're feeling empowered, when we're feeling that, okay, you know, then we go to that cage and then we can go work our butts off. But the answer will come a lot sooner from that quiet place than it will from a place of revved up thinking, no question about it.
Now, can anyone learn the skills that you teach, and can these athletes apply these like long after your coaching? Do they need to revisit these techniques or maybe hold later sessions with you?
Because we're teaching an understanding, right? Not a quick fix or not a temporary how-to, right? We're teaching an understanding of what life and this journey is all about, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What happens is sometimes it gets blurred for us. Sometimes our thinking, and this even happens to me, by the way. Okay, I'm not, you know, I sometimes get in my own way with my thoughts also, right?
Right, right.
And but however, I've been at this long enough to know when to act and what not to act, mm-hmm. all right? When to just hang in there, because I know there's always the hope for something better.
Right.
I know that how I'm feeling in the moment, maybe my mood's low, I know in 10 minutes I'm going to be feeling differently. Now, if I get revved up and try to find the answers to my supposed issues when my mood is low, it's not going to take 10 minutes. It could take 10 days or right. 10 years for some people, unfortunately, right?
Sure.
Once a person has this understanding, JD, they already so you already know this. When you're a young kid, you know this, right? Mm-hmm. So we're just trying to tap back into that truth, that inner wisdom that everyone possesses. If a player gets stuck in their thinking and they need to reach out to me or come see me or have me travel out to them, I'm happy to do it. But as we work with athletes, those meetings, those sessions get fewer and far between, and that's really my goal.
I want to talk to you a little bit about how drugs might affect your ability to work with athletes, and because we know that they affect the mind, and how does that all fit in with what you do?
Again, it goes back to this truth that external circumstances have no ability to regulate us.
Oh, exactly.
That's more of a quick fix, right?
Right.
In other words, so you have it makes perfect sense intellectually that if you're an athlete and you're in a slump, right, we're going to have to, right, let's look outside of us for the answer,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's look towards hypnosis maybe, or let's look at a performance-enhancing drug. Or let's, because this is bothering us so much, let's look at a mind-altering drug.
Right, yeah.
Right. Once a player, see, we all know how that ends up, though, right? So in the moment, that truth gets blurred, right?
Right, yeah.
So you have the thought, this is, I feel awful, I'm letting my team down, I'm letting my coach down, I'm letting myself down, maybe I won't earn as much money next year if I don't get this fixed, so I got to go find the answer,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can see how that could happen, right? But just because you have the thought doesn't mean you have to act on the thought.
Right.
Because when you, and that thought only comes from a place of revved up thinking. It doesn't come from clarity, from calm clarity, from your inner wisdom. It comes from, you know, from a place of upset, a place of confusion. So once you show an athlete, and you could use a million examples, and there's never been one that's turned out good, right? Mm-hmm. So when a player reaches for any type of drug, again, performance-enhancing, mind-altering, or whatever, it's never turned out good, not even one time.
Of course.
It's impossible for it to happen.
Right.
So when players start to see that, and when they start to realize that it's just a thought, the thought itself of looking outside them is normal. We all have these type of thoughts all the time. You
sure.
do it, I do it, everyone. Derek Jeter even does it, right? The trick, though, is the wise know that they've created their thought. And it's self-created. I always tell players joking around, the difference between wisdom and folly is that fools know only what they think, but the wise know they're the thinker.
Right.
So those who believe that when they have a thought, we've got to act on that thought, are the ones that get in trouble. If they can just hang in there, recognize the state of mind that produces that type of thought and the feelings that will ensue, and then say, okay, wait, let's hang in there. We are wired for clarity and fluent thinking, right? That is how we're ultimately wired. And if we can just see that,
mm-hmm.
the truth will shine through, and we won't go reach for that answer outside of us, right? Now, if a player does do that, JD, we just kind of need to approach them, as I said, not judging the behavior, right? Right. That's how we go back to our other discussion about trust and respect. Not judging the behavior. We do it. We we approach that kind of situation from a place of understanding, because we can understand why that would happen, mm-hmm. and compassion, and we go from there. Let's go back to state of mind. Go back to state. You talk about mind, state of mind, right? It's all lies in state of mind, not the behavior. It's so important to see that. And when a player sees that you're going to approach it that way, we won't fail. We won't fail in our work. It's impossible, actually.
In closing up with the interview here, is there any, maybe some exercise or something listeners could use, maybe not even athletes specific, but ways to help them maybe tune out things that could interfere with their goals?
I don't blame you for asking the question, but I almost would see an exercise as a quick kind of fix. Right, I'm going to give you. So again, go back to what I said about looking within.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, look within. So when you kind of are getting stuck in the moment, understand that there's always the possibility for something better. Right.
Right.
How you feel now? Let's say you're stuck, and how you feel now is certainly not how you'll feel in a week from now. I'll tell you about this. In closing, I'll tell you a quick story.
Sure.
I had an NHL player, National Hockey League player, in my office about 2.5 weeks ago. He had gotten off to a rough start in the season, and he was one of the leading scorers in the league last year. And he just couldn't get out of his own way. This external circumstance of performing poorly on the ice was just, he couldn't sleep, he was having trouble eating, He was really having a rough go of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, the my role is to, and he wanted an answer. He wanted a fix. Okay, give me the secret to, you know, give me an exercise. Give me something.
Right. Right?
My role was actually to show him there was nothing he needed to do.
Huh?
Just be. Right, mm-hmm. Because the more he would try to do something to fix it, kind of like if you look at one of our videos, my partner says, like stepping on the gas when your tire's in the mud,
mm-hmm.
you're only going to get in your own way. And that's why athletes get into slumps. Right, the real trick is to know that there's nothing you need to do. Nothing. All you need, because when you do nothing, right, you find the answer, because from clarity and quiet, you find the answer. So what I said to this player was like, look, I said, look, I don't know how you're going to be feeling a week from now, but I can guarantee you're not going to be feeling like you're feeling now. That's
right.
All I said to him. That's all I said. So the possibility for something greater is out there. The other thing is, I don't know what path is appropriate. In other words, let's say he scores one more goal the entire year, or let's say he scores 50. We don't know where we're going with in either direction. So it looks intellectually like, because he's a professional hockey player, the better path is 50. Makes mm-hmm. sense, right?
Right,
but
right.
At the end of the day, we don't know that, right? So we don't know about the twists and turns of life and where they take us. But if we quiet our mind, we will always find that no matter where they take us, it's productive. And so explaining this to the player, kind of whacking him in the head a little bit and saying, whoa, just let's back up here a second. All right. You're creating this reality for yourself in the moment, right? Let's mm-hmm. just back burner this issue. Quiet your thinking. The answers will come. Now, what happened here was beautiful. He scored 5 goals in the next 4 games, and he's leading the team in scoring, and he's doing great.
Sweet.
Just a great, you know,
yeah.
I got lucky. But I think when you quiet your mind, you kind of see that it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's happening makes sense, you know?
Right.
We can only do that from a place of clarity and quiet, and we can only do that long-term by clearly understanding that the answers come from within, not outside us. By the way, that's why the name of my company is Intersports.
Exactly. Can you give us your website address again, contact info for listeners?
Sure, JD. It's inner-sports.com. My email's all over the site, but it's gkramer@innersports.com. And there's all kinds of contact information and also free resources on our website.
Thank you so much for this opportunity to talk to you again, Garrett, and best wishes for the future of Intersports.
You too, JD. Thanks again for having me.
You just listened to another interview with Big JD right here on the Jabbercast. For more Big JD, visit www.bigjd.com. For more interviews with Big JD, visit youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
All right, there we have Garrett Kramer again on the show. Always interesting. Pleasure having him.
That man has no loss for words.
No. I also got to say, too, the interview with Dr. Rick Fisher was very interesting because we went straight to commercial from that. So let's get into Tech Talk.
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all.
Yeah, that's right. Internet banking. Just wanted to make mention of internet banking because it's so convenient and it's part of the modern age, internet banking. But yet a lot of people still don't want to bank online because they're afraid.
Who? Who doesn't? You know,
there's people that don't bank online or that they think that, you know, I can't put that kind of information in the computer and I don't want to store this, store that. And I don't want to access my bank online because somebody's going to intercept and all those kinds of things. But
that's your grandmother.
No, it's not. But I'm just saying, like, there are people that don't bank online.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Let alone people that don't have a computer, but yeah.
I thought everybody does their banking
online. Go sit out front of your bank. Watch how many people come in there and do all their banking.
Well, if you're, yeah, I suppose you're right. Yeah, it's a good point.
But it is when you can withdraw and send money to your house from your computer, that would be sweet. They need those tubes all over the place where you know, the tubes and you put in the money and you send it in the thing and it goes to the bank.
But yeah. Cash is going to be so passe.
Cash is a beautiful thing.
No, I'm saying actual physical cash is, that's going to be done eventually, isn't it?
Yeah, there you go. And we'll never have to have cash or anything. So you don't need actual money.
No, it's just going to be numbers in your account. It's all just numbers. And eventually those numbers are going to be, now right now it's on a card. You just stick it in a.
And so what about when somebody gives you money though? Somebody buys something from you and gives you some cash, like gives you money. So that's what's cool about like things like PayPal and everything. Like, you know what I mean? PayPal. You just buy and sell like nothing. And there's no actual cash involved, and you just get your money.
It's all going to be it's going to be your device.
But we will need something somehow, somewhere where you can do that. Yeah, and I guess your handheld device would do it right away. Like if everybody has them, then you can do it while you're with the person or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
As if you sold something privately and they're going to pay you for it.
Yeah.
You know, or just go online and say, okay, let's just pay me this way right here while I'm here. Boom, 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 boom. Transaction went through. Okay. Adios, amigos.
Yeah.
Good luck with that thing I just sold you. But I want to make mention of that because it's a, you know, it's a modern day thing. That's where technology has taken us to internet banking. It's in, and it's really is kind of an important thing to be able to do that. And everybody should take advantage of that. And I don't think anybody should worry about it. And I think usually your bank and those institutions know when there's fraudulent activity.
Oh, so, yeah, for sure.
So, you know, and there are, people have that happen. It's happened to me, fraudulent activity with different things, cell phone, bank accounts, swipe card, whatever, you know what I mean? And it happens and they take care of it. And it's always been an okay experience, except for the fact of having to get a new card and re-enter PIN numbers and thing, you know, some inconvenience to it. But I mean, they always have taken care of it and don't say that, you know, we can't prove that it wasn't you or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right. Except when your bank loses a laptop with all your information on it.
I hope it's not on the laptop.
Yeah, it was.
At the bank. Was it?
Yeah, the what? National
Ooh,
Bank.
Where?
Yeah, was okay. About a year and a half ago, National Bank.
Right.
And I asked my, I went to get a cell phone contract for my son and we were doing pay as you go. Kiwi's making an appearance on the show like he always has to. And she brought it up again because I wasn't able to get a contract. They did a credit check on me over the phone. And, no, sorry, you can't. So I'm bumming out. My credit rating's screwed. What the heck's
right,
going
yeah,
on?
Yeah.
So I got my credit rating and it's squeaky clean. But it might have something to do with the fact that there is a risk somewhere.
And I'm all about risk.
So she brought it up that, you know, oh, well, there was that time that our laptop got stolen. Like, it's still an issue with them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not cool.
Yeah, when something like that happens, and it does, but things don't happen very often, really. But, I mean, on a small scale, like with everybody, I'm sure they do. And it comes a big pile, but something big. So that thing's always probably fresh in the minds.
There you go. It was in her mind, that's for sure.
The Jabber quote.
Dabs in nine, one hand, two in the bush. Jabber Quote.
This week's Jabber Quote brought to us by
Steve and Larry, fine purveyors of used games of... Oh, what was the game I had on the tip of my tongue?
Risk.
No, it wasn't Risk.
Mine.
It was the mine thing, yeah.
Is there a mine game?
Yeah, there is a mine game.
Balder Draki? Sherbalder Mackey?
At the Balder Dash? Of Wabash and Strabane. Visit them. What's this week's quote?
This week's Jabber Quote is from Gary Spence. You know who that is, right?
No idea.
Oh, okay. How about if I pronounce it as Jerry Spence? With a G. Now you know who he is. I would rather have a mind opened by wonder than one closed by belief. That's pretty neat, pretty deep. I would rather have a mind opened by wonder than one closed by belief.
Well, that's interesting.
It is.
How does a mind get closed by
actually,
belief?
Actually, that'd be nice to discuss with your dad, I think. He'd like that, probably.
Probably, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, how does a mind get closed by belief? Are we talking about religious beliefs?
When you have a belief, I guess, that would probably be good to... starting point anyway is religion. If you have a belief, then I guess it's the thought of that is done for you. That's what you believe and it's over, really. You know what I mean? I mean, you don't really think of other things because this is what I believe. I believe blah, 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 blah.
You have to have a spiritual conviction.
Sure.
Yeah, but this guy's saying, I don't have any spiritual conviction because I'm open to anything.
Well, that's the thing. He'd rather have a mind open by wonder. I wonder if this, or I wonder if that. I wonder if. And then you have all these possibilities, which can be a good thing. I mean, that's maybe not for everybody, but the thing is, too, that's how sometimes change is brought about or how invention is brought about. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because of the wonder. But if somebody believes one thing, I believe that this is the only way.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Then you're stuck. You're in a rut. And that's why he would rather have a mind open by wonder than one closed by belief. That's
great, great quote.
What I believe.
That's a book there, isn't it?
I guess that kind of wraps things up. I'd like to thank Dr. Rick Fisher for being on the show, Garrett Kramer for being on the show. And next week on the Jabbercast, our show is going to be all about New York. Wow, January 3rd show. We have a show to do in the next like 2-3 days, I guess. It's going to be a pre-recorded show, I take it.
Take it to the bank.
Because I don't think it's going to be remote at whatever time that is.
No.
So we're going to do a New York show, whatever that entails. All about New York, maybe.
Wow.
The fun, the wonder, and the...
wanting to go.
And the want of New York. And a couple other topics coming up. I'd Love to Change the World coming up in January. Also in January, Knickknacks, the Knickknacks show. And recently added end of January show, Michigan Film and Television.
That's sounds interesting.
Yeah. So anyway,
did you see that Discovery show, Motor City?
No, I don't get Discovery, so I'd have to check it out online. Anyway.
It's a new show. It hasn't started yet.
Okay.
And I'd like to thank the people who listen to the live stream. Mm-hmm. And I wish we had a chat room. I wonder if there's a free chat room.
Oh, there is. Yeah, we can put one on the website, a free chat thing. We've had them before. Yeah.
A chat, like we're talking.
Yeah.
On the site.
Are you talking about audio chat or text chat?
Text chat.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely text chat for sure.
We've had it on the site.
But we should be able to work in some audio thing too for people to call in or be on the show and hang out maybe or whatever. You know what I mean? As long as we've got a mute button.
Well, they can hang out. Just come to my house.
Well, yeah. But I mean, people that want to call in during the taping of the show or whatever, you know, live show, however that works. That would be cool.
That would be cool.
And even if it's Skype routed in, so we can do that easily with this, I guess, right? We could use the Jabbercast thing and have people come in Skype and it's obviously going out no matter what anyway. So that would work actually, right?
You have to have a Skype in number.
No.
Oh, they would have Skype to be on audio. Skype.
Yeah.
They would have to go on
right,
Skype.
Oh, right, yeah. But the phone number would be really cool, but a Skype in number would be cool, but...
But if you're on Skype, everywhere. If you're using Skype,
you but can if somebody easily... uses Skype, yeah, well, that's what they have to do. You get Skype and you can call Jabbercast.
Do we have a Jabbercast Skype account?
We do. The Jabbercast, I think, is the name.
I think it is. I think you're right.
So it's just a matter of logging in and doing the deal.
Doing the deal.
And we've done the deal for today.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody.
See you next week.
Yes, it's the
Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email BigJD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, BigJD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.